This is a third and final message in our series on Joshua. I just realized I've left my thing over here just to change the PowerPoint. A series which we've entitled Taking Ground, because this is a year for Liberty Church of taking ground. Testament to the fact that we are in here, we have physically taken ground, and we are in our own home. So this series is called Taking Ground, and if you're not familiar with the book of Joshua, it comes after Moses has led the people of Israel out of Egypt for 40 years. They have wandered in the wilderness, and with a promise of a land which has gone back to the time of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, you've yet to inhabit that land, as Stan was talking about. But now it is Joshua who leads the people. After Moses has died, Joshua leads the people. And the book of Joshua is the story of the people entering that promised land. And it seemed appropriate at the time when we are getting into our new home that we should preach on this amazing book. First message a few weeks ago, we talked about being strong and courageous. Sorry, I'm not very good at doing these things. I should have had that up. Being strong and courageous. How many times that is repeated at the beginning of the book of Joshua and at the end even of the previous book in Deuteronomy. This call for the people of God, for Joshua to be strong and courageous, strong and very courageous, not in their own strength, but it because they could say that God was with them. God says, I will be with you. I will be with you and go wherever. So be strong and courageous. Last week we looked at, our message was crossing over. Our last Sunday in Queen Anne, and it was quite emotional to be just closing the doors on that part of our journey. But the crossing over for the people in Joshua was a time when they crossed the Jordan, and some things ended. It was the end of an era, but it was the beginning of a new time. And for us, we've seen the end of an era, and I believe, I'm using the word era because I'm not using the word season. We talk about church seasons. I believe God is moving us into a new era of Liberty Church where we will see new things, things we've not seen before. And today, as we read here in the Liberty Center, we have crossed over into our new home. So let me read some verses. I want to read some verses that come after Joshua and the people have crossed over, and before they come into their first battle in Jericho, let me read these interesting verses. Now, when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied, "but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence. It's just an interesting little interlude in this journey of God's people. And yet I think it's incredibly significant. Joshua meets this man. Now, he's obviously a significant man. Whether what he looked like, we don't know. But Joshua meets this man and speaks to him and asks him whose side he is on. Are you for us or for our enemies? Who is this man? He says he's the commander of the army of the Lord. Well, only one person really gets that title. We believe that actually, because Joshua falls face down to the ground in reverence, if it had been an angel, and we see so many times in Scripture, they would have said, get up. You're not here to worship me, you're here to worship God. But there's no correction. Somehow Joshua has come face to face with God, the commander of the army of the Lord. Face to face with God. And it's a simple question he asks him, not knowing who he was. Are you for us or for our enemies? Whose side are you on? Whose side are you on? Are you going to come and fight with us or are you on the opposition? And the answer, I think, is surprising. It would be surprising to Joshua, and I think it's surprising if it's the first time you've read it or seen that. His answer is neither or neither, however you pronounce it. Not taking human sides. And I think this is hugely significant. This is God speaking. And God is not some sort of genie. One of my favorite films is the film Aladdin, if you've seen that, either the original or the remake. Great films. Three wishes. I'm here to do whatever you want. I'm here to just ask whatever you want, with a few exceptions. I can't kill anybody.
I can't bring anybody back to life. You don't want to see that.
God is not some sort of genie that says, you're my master. That's not the way it works. And the question actually really needs to be turned around to Joshua. Whose side are you on? Who are you following? Who will you choose to follow? And I think this is a hugely significant question for every single one of us. A life-changing question. For Joshua, for the people of God, as we see them move through the whole of the old story of the people of God moving with God, who would they choose to follow and the consequences of that decision? God's people were moving into the promised land. They were removing a people who had moved so far away from God. We don't know the extent of their sin and what they've got, but we know that these people who inhabited the land were so far from God. God said, I want my people to inhabit this land, and I want my people to represent me and my kingdom. Let me read some verses we've already read, going back to the beginning of Joshua. This is God speaking, the Lord speaking to Joshua. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate it on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And so we've got this exhortation that comes three times, even in those brief verses, from God to Joshua. Be strong and courageous. But we notice something else. We notice that there's a call to obedience. There's a call to follow, to obey the law that was given to Moses by God in the desert, on Mount Sinai, that Moses read to the people, brought to the people, reiterated in the book of Deuteronomy as they approached the promised land. And God is saying to Joshua, you need to follow this law. You need to meditate it. You need to know it. You need to know the things that are important. Now, if you read those laws, sometimes they can be difficult to read. If you've read through some of that stuff that we see in Leviticus and the books of the Old Testament, there are purity laws in there, how God's people dealt with his people, how they entered into the presence of God, that God was right there, and how they could come into the presence of a holy God. And there were also the moral laws of how they would live in relationship with God at the center and how they would live with each other. And God says, I want you to love the law and follow the law. And follow him. If you will follow and obey, there will be blessing. He says there will be success and prosperity. If you don't, there will be consequences. We all have consequences to our actions. If you don't and you decide to go another way, we know that God will withhold his blessing from his people. There are strong words and a clear command. And what we see as we look at the book of Joshua is exactly this happening. We see clear examples. So, many of us will know the story of Jericho, which is the first city that the people go up against, with a guarded city with a wall around it. And God commands the people, and he says, I want you to walk around 6 days. Each day you walk around with all the people and carry the Ark of the Covenant. On the seventh day you walk around, and then when he say, you blow the trumpets, you shout, and the walls will come down. And they obey, and they do what God says, and it happens. The walls come down. God is clear that he has done this. And they go in and they conquer that city. And fresh from that place, they then think, all right, the next city is AI or I, or I don't know how you pronounce it. It's being AI, artificial intelligence. I don't know how you pronounce it. Anyway, they go into the city. They say, okay, it's a smaller city. We'll just send a few thousand men. No problem. So they go up and they are defeated by the king of AI and his men. And people die. Israelites die. And they are distraught. They are thinking, what has happened? This is only our second battle in. We thought God was with us. And something has happened. And God makes it clear, he said, because there is sin in the camp. You have not done what I said for you to do. And they trace it back to one man and his family who gets pretty severely dealt with because he'd stolen. God had said, everything that comes from Jericho you need is devoted to God. And he'd kept some of this stuff and thought, oh, there's some nice stuff here. There's some gold and there's precious materials. I'm going to keep that for myself. And he hid it in his tent. No one else knew, but God knew. And because of that, the people suffered. They dealt with that situation. And the next time they went to fight, they defeated the people of Ai. God was making it clear, this matters. He needed a people who were set apart, who lived differently, who followed and honored him. And here we are, Liberty Church, in our new home. A new era. How does that apply to us today? And we would say, yeah, but we're not under the law. We're under grace. That was the Old Testament. They had all these commands and things to do. But Jesus Christ came and he changed all that. And that is true, in a sense. It is true that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is a message of grace. That for every single one of us, there is a gap between us and God created by sin, our own sin, and sin that is here in this world. There is a gap that we cannot cross, a chasm between us and God, which we can do nothing about. We could be as obedient as we liked, and we're not going to cross that gap. It is too wide. We will never, ever come to the place where we have satisfied, where we are that holy in our own efforts. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We are separated by our sin, and it's a debt we cannot pay. And the good news, the gospel, is a message of grace. And it's that message that we bring into this home of ours. That's what we want to be. We want to be a people of grace who proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ came and he did what we could not do. He lived a perfect life. He went to the cross for our sin. He paid a price which we could not pay. The Bible says that he actually became sin for us. That everything and all our mess and all our failure and all our brokenness was taken by Jesus on the cross. So that we could become the righteousness of God. That means that we, when God looks at us, he sees the righteousness, the holiness, the purity of his Son. And he invites every one of us. And that is grace. And that is the message of grace. And maybe you've never heard that before. I know many people here, and there's some I don't know, but maybe you've never heard that before. Maybe you felt you needed to try all the time just to be good enough for God. And God is saying, you need to come as you are. This is grace. Because Jesus Christ has done what you could not do. And there's an invitation to come and follow him. Come as you are. Paul writes in the letter of the Ephesians, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not by works so that no one can boast. And we want to be a people in this place that lead people to that gift. That show people that there's a way. And the way is Jesus Christ. But it doesn't change the fact that God is still looking for a people who will follow and obey. A people who are loved by God and who are called to love. Jesus was asked about the law and all the things that Moses wrote. And now that's just hundreds of years later, and they've got the law and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, and they say to Jesus, well, what's the most important part? We've got all this stuff, all these rules and how we live. What's the most important? And he's quite clear. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, with everything that is in you, with everything that you are. Love God. And the second is like it, he said. Love other people. Love those around about you the way that you love yourself or the way that you would want to be loved by others. Love God and love people. John writes in his first letter, he says, this is love, is to keep the commands, is to obey God, is to do what God says. And when we come to Christ, there is the Spirit of God inhabits us, comes to dwell in us and leads us to God and leads us to love God in a way we never thought we could do through surrendering our lives and following. We are saved by grace, not by what we do. We are clear on that. But what we do still matters. How we live still matters. God chose a people. He chose the Israelites. He said, you are my people and I will dwell among you. He chose a people to carry his name, to carry his glory. And he called them to follow and obey. And our choices still have consequences. If we choose to follow, there will be blessing. It's the same true for us. If we choose not to, we will miss out on that blessing. There's a human law, which we've talked about before, regardless if it's a faith thing, that we talk a lot about rights at the moment, and we have rights as human beings. We have the right to choose, whatever that might, the choose to vote, the choose to live, choose to whatever it might be. We have the right to choose. And yes, that is true in so many ways. But we don't have the right to choose the consequences. Once we make our choice, the consequences follow. God has given us a new home. This is a new era for Liberty Church. We have crossed over, we have taken ground, something has ended, and something new has begun. And I see so many great opportunities, light parties, and so many other things, great opportunities to serve God and to see lives transformed in this community, our lives, and the lives of those around about us. And I know that God's desire is to bless and build this church, to increase our influence and impact on this community, and to be a beacon of light and hope in a very uncertain world at the moment. And people are crying out for something that they can stand on, something that's steady. And having our own home, in fact, is a statement. It puts us on the map in a way we've never been before. Suddenly, you know, when you move around, you can be around forever, a meeting in a high school, and there's a sense almost that, well, we don't know, there's no permanency, but here we are in our own home, and it puts us on the map. What will we do with that? How will we live? Because this world needs a church that will live for God, and this city needs churches who will bring life and hope. I've had the huge privilege and encouragement of seeing so many churches around Dunfermline where there are so many great things happening. People and leaders and people who want to follow God and want to make a difference. God is doing something not just in Liberty, but in our city, in our community. And I believe we're in for a season of churches working together, coming together, and seeing the glory of God in our midst. Amen? I believe that very strongly. God wants to bless us. He wants to bless and build this church, but that blessing's not a given. This is not a time to settle or to sit back or go our own way. We are here. We have work to do in this building. But we, more importantly, we have work to do for God to follow him. Taking ground is not just about moving into a new home. In fact, in some ways, it's not really about physical ground at all. I'm grateful for this wonderful place to call home. But taking ground is about a people who choose to follow God, willing to make God and his kingdom our highest priority. Singing our words in worship, and we're going to be singing again in a few minutes, that reflect our worship, our devotion, and our surrender. And when we look at the New Testament, even the time of Jesus, it's full of instruction on how we should live, to worship God and to seek first his kingdom, to love each other, to forgive and serve and encourage and comfort, to love the church, to love this church, to honor and protect and build and seek the gifts of the Spirit that will change and transform us, and to love this world, to bring the message of the good news, to serve and heal the broken and the wounded, and to bring life and hope. And it's all summed up in that greatest commandment, love God and love each other as you love yourselves. That's the kind of church this city needs. That's the kind of church I think we are. And that's the kind of church that God is calling us and the other churches around about us to be. At the end of the book of Joshua, Joshua is close to death. And he speaks to the people. He says, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. You choose. It's your choice. We're in here. We're in the land at this point. They're in the land. They've conquered vast parts of the land. They're inhabiting the land that God promised. But he finishes with these words, "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord." God is inviting us, I believe, to choose. It's not a question of whether God is on our side or my side or your side. It's a question that comes to us. Will we follow God? Will we choose to serve the Lord? You know, it's fascinating that when the people crossed over the river Jordan, they were then circumcised. It's interesting they do it that way around. You think they would do it before they crossed the river, but they did it afterwards. That's fine. Circumcision was a sign of belonging, a people set apart. It was a sign of a covenant with God. There's something in that that says, we are your people. We're under a new covenant, and how grateful I am of that personally. And there's no need for circumcision. But the Bible talks about a circumcision of the heart, that God is doing something not physical on the outside, but something in us. God has called us by his Spirit and we belong. He has done something in us. And he's inviting us to follow and to honor him and to obey him. This is a new day. This is a new day. This is a new era. We are Liberty Church in our new home. And I believe God is saying to us, to each one of us, choose. Choose who you will follow. Choose. It's up to each one of us. For every member of this Liberty family, from the youngest to the oldest, will we choose to serve God? And because God's desires for his people has always been to bless them and for them to be a blessing to those around about them, a light of hope in a dark world. Liberty Church, by being here, has made a statement. What are we going to do with that? What will those around about us? I think people are going to be looking to Liberty Church. Those around us who work in here, what's this curious thing that's happening in this building, these people who moved in? They're going to be asking questions. They're going to be wondering, what is about these people? And the opportunity for us to say, we will choose to follow you, God. Choose to obey you. Choose to live differently. Choose to be a light in a dark world. The opportunity is there. Will we choose to follow God? To love him, to love this church, and to love this city. I think great things await us. But those great things will come to a people who say, we are yours, God. We are yours. We surrender our ambitions and everything else to you. And we say, your kingdom come, your will be done. I want to end this. We're going to go into worship in a moment. I want to invite us to pray together. We've done this, it's an appropriate time of year as we launch into a kind of new year this time and we move through, but it seems incredibly more significant the fact that we're in our new home. And I want to invite us to pray. I'm going to put a prayer up on the board and I'd like us to speak it out together. I'm going to put it up right now. I'm going to read it through so you can see what it says. It doesn't apply to everybody here, but the prayer says, Father, you have loved us faithfully and brought us to this place, to a new home and a new beginning. This is a new day, and today in this place, I choose to follow you. I commit myself to love and serve you, to love and serve Liberty Church, and to love and serve those around me. Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in my life, in this church, and in this land, as it is in heaven. Amen. It's not applicable to everybody. If you're a part of the Liberty family, it applies. And it's something I think we all need to think through. And maybe you feel like, I need to think about this. This is a big thing. Maybe today, maybe you need to take that away and think, actually, there's some things I need to think through. But if you're ready to pray that prayer, I want to invite you to do that. If you're visiting from another church, then maybe you can put in the church that you are part of and say, I want to be a part of that. If you're here this morning, you're not part of a church, maybe you have not even thought about faith in Jesus Christ, then this prayer of commitment, these words maybe don't apply. But I believe God invites us to choose. And will we follow him? And maybe for someone here today, is that our choice to say, I want to follow you, Jesus. I accept the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I know I can't do this on my own. And maybe I'm fed up trying. And I want the freedom that comes, liberty that comes from following you. And maybe that's for you today. Maybe in your own words, as we pray and we stand together, that would be your prayer this morning. And if it is, and that's where you're at, then we'd love to talk with you. We believe that following Jesus Christ is the best thing that anybody could ever do. It's the ultimate choice that we make. And we invite you, if you'd like to do that this morning, or if you'd like to know more, then please come and speak to us. But I would like to invite us to stand. Why don't we stand together, as you are able? And for those who are able to say this prayer, this is a prayer of commitment to God, to this church, to this land, as we take ground and continue to take ground. Nobody can say this for you. It needs to come from you. So let's pray together for those who are ready. Father, you have loved us faithfully and brought us to this place, to a new home and a new beginning. This is a new day, and today, in this place, I choose to follow you. I commit myself to love and serve you, to love and serve Liberty Church, and to love and serve those around me. Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in my life, in this church, and in this land, as it is in heaven. Amen. Amen.